Well, last week I think I looked like one of the Smurfs, and today I look like Kermit the Frog. No. There we go. Good transition. Good transition. Today we are, I should say tomorrow, we're celebrating Memorial Day. I used to always be confused about Memorial Day, because Memorial Day and Veterans Day are now kind of brought together. Memorial Day used to be called Decoration Day. How many remember that? Yeah. It's when we would decorate the graves of those that had gone before us, whether they were veterans or not. But we do honor our military, because it is our military that allows us to continue to live in a country where God's word can be preached. Amen. It's their sacrifice on foreign soils that allows us this privilege of being able to gather together as Christians and to celebrate what God has done in our lives. I would like to just take a moment to recognize our veterans. And if all of our veterans would just stand, I'd like to just recognize you and give you a little recognition. So if all of our veterans would stand, please. Let's give them a hand. Thank you for your service. Thank you very much for your service. It's what keeps us safe. I, as a citizen, would much rather have you fight the wars on foreign soils than on our home soils. And we are right now, the news was that there are over 100 ISIS warriors living in America, in every state. And all it takes is one group effort for a strike in every major city to really disable what is currently going on in the United States. So pray for our government officials. Pray for our soldiers. Pray that we will be able to continue to combat the terrorist efforts against the Western culture and civilization. There was a news article on the news yesterday or Friday, I don't remember, where a World War II veteran, some of you may have seen this, a World War II veteran just graduated from high school. Did anyone see that? Yeah. He was drafted or enlisted, I don't know, while he was still in high school, and he never got a chance to finish high school and to graduate. And one of the things that he wanted to do before he died was to graduate from high school. So he went through, you know, all the curriculum and did got his GED and went past the GED and passed the final exams. And I think it was at age 92 or 93, he graduated from high school and was presented with his diploma. So it's those kind of men and women serving that keeps us safe. Today we're going to be continuing in the series of sermons from the book of James. James has been writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered throughout the region. They have been scattered because they are fearing death, because they are being hunted down. And so they're just kind of scattered out. And James is writing to them, and he's also writing to us. And as he was writing to the 12 tribes that were scattered, he says, you're going to experience many trials, many kind of problems. And when you do, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of problems, because it is those kind of problems that really develop our patience, and it's our patience that really matures our faith. Then he talked to them about their propensity for sin, how sin does not come from outside of us. It does not come from God or from the dark side. It comes from within our hearts. And that we need to have a cleansing of our hearts in order to walk and to fulfill the purpose that God has for us in our lives. He also spoke to them about the credibility crisis, how we need to be doers of the Word and not just hearers of the Word. He spoke to them also about being impartial, how they are not supposed to show partiality to the rich versus the poor, or this race versus a different race, or this culture, or this individual from this part of society versus this part of society. He also spoke to them about their ethics, how there is an ethical issue then and now, and how the world is truly needing to see the church at work, but faith without works is dead. He spoke to them about their tongues. He spoke to us about our tongues, how it is our tongue that can do the greatest damage, or it can be the greatest blessing. Today, he speaks to us about wisdom. We are living in a time of knowledge. There are more individuals graduating from college today than any other generation previously. We can travel throughout the world. We just jump on an airplane and fly. We live in the computer age, and it's estimated that over 96% of individuals use the internet or some kind of a Wi-Fi connection 4 to 5 times a day. Information, knowledge has been increasing exponentially throughout the years. But wisdom is almost null and void. With all of that power, with all of that potential, it has not solved the problems of society. We have a higher divorce rate, a higher suicide rate than ever before. And you would think with all the knowledge that we have at our fingertips that that would not be the case. I took several pictures. We were at a wedding in Bunker Hill. Danielle, her husband's sister, got married yesterday up in Bunker Hill, and so we went to the wedding and the reception, and I took several pictures of Emma, because she was the flower girl. Now, Emma doesn't know how to walk yet, and they didn't want her crawling, so a cousin carried her in, and I took several pictures of that. And Kathy was saying, send me that picture. And I'm going, Kathy, I have no service on my phone. I don't care. She goes, just send me the picture. Honey, I have no service. I have no connection here. I can't send it to you. Well, just send me the picture then. It's hard to fathom when we get into an area that has no cellular service. We don't know what to do. It's true. We are so used to the luxuries of life that we don't know how to function without it someday. And it may not be too long. We may be thrown back into the 1920s and 30s. If something happens through the terrorist attacks, we can easily see that time coming. James says, Doesn't matter how much knowledge you attain, but that your knowledge is worth nothing unless you apply wisdom to it. Because knowledge in itself is simply the gaining of facts. But wisdom is applying those facts and putting those facts into action. Turn with me this morning to James, the third chapter, please. James chapter 3. Can you turn on that bank of lights too? That one right there. That one right there. That helps me when I'm reading. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds, done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that you have allowed us to come to worship you, to sing praises to you. And Father, we thank you for your word as it speaks to each heart that is here. It is important that we learn things, that we know things. But more importantly, Lord, it's important that we are wise and that we can use that knowledge in a wise way. And Father God, we pray that we might see that importance this day. And Father, I pray that you would anoint each heart that they might be able to hear you speak to them this day. And Father God, we give you the glory for all that you are going to do through our service today and through your word. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Knowledge is just the gaining of facts. Many people come to Bible studies and they come and listen to the preacher preach on Sunday morning and they amass knowledge. But it's actually putting that knowledge to use and putting that knowledge into action that requires wisdom. And when you are wise in the Word, then you can use godly wisdom. James says there's two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world, which we get our term street smarts or street savvy. And then there's the knowledge or the wisdom, I should say, of the Word. James says that there is a vast difference between the two of them. We have a lot of kids today that are having to make decisions. Decisions that would be easier made if they were in the middle of their life. Decisions like, who am I going to marry? Decisions like, what occupation should I focus on? Where should I live? Things like that that they're going to have to decide at a very early age. Probably in the early 20s. And it would help if they had the godly wisdom that James is talking about. But many times they don't because they're graduating from college and you know what the colleges teach. The colleges teach the wisdom of the world. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is the wisdom of the world. Tonight, we're going to look at the wisdom of the Word. But this morning, we're going to look at the wisdom from the world. Turn with me to our main text in verse 13 through 16, once again. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." When we look, first of all, at the origin, James says the wisdom of the world does not come down from heaven. He said it is earthly, meaning it's secular. He says it's unspiritual, meaning it's sensual. And I'm not talking sexual. It's sensual, meaning you use your senses. It's also of the devil. That wisdom does not come down from heaven. It is a part of what we live in today. It's a part of our society that we live in. Look with me, please, in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Look with me in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lusts of his eyes, and the boastings of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world." I'm going to give you three words that will depict a major city in the United States. Now, you might think it's another city, but I'm going to tell you which city it is. Those three words are money, sex, and power. What city would you say? Some would say Hollywood or Los Angeles. I would say Washington, D.C. Because Washington, D.C. has a lot more power than Hollywood ever thought of. And the prostitutes follow the money. Washington, D.C. is the prostitute capital of the United States. And see, it's that kind of inner craving. That's why Hollywood, everything's out in the open. There are no scandals to speak of. No, the scandals are in Washington, D.C. because everything is done behind closed doors. That's where the deals are made. They use the wisdom of the world. See, people of the world, non-Christians, that's all they have. But for the Christians, they have the precious Word of God to give them wisdom. As Christian businessmen, I've seen Christian businessmen use the wisdom of the Word to gain financial stability. The Bible says to own no man but to love him. And I've seen Christian businessmen use the Word as their guide to gain financial stability. I've seen Christian couples use the Word so that they know how they should treat each other within the home, to give each other mutual respect and mutual love. I've seen Christian parents use the wisdom of the Word to raise their families and to raise their families in righteousness. But I've also seen Christian businessmen, Christian couples, and Christian parents use the wisdom of the world. And when they use the wisdom of the world, their life comes crashing down. Why? Because that wisdom does not come from heaven. No, that wisdom, James says, is first of all secular. There we go. It's secular. It's earthy. It's earthly. It requires us to use our senses. It's secular. When we look at the wisdom of the world, King Saul thought it would be great when his army was going against the Philistines, and each morning and each evening they would run down the hill, they would draw their battle lines, and then Goliath would appear and they'd all run back up the hill. And finally a little shepherd boy came and said, "Saul, I'll kill this guy." And so Saul said, "Okay, I can help you in your endeavor. I want you to wear my armor." Put your arms down. Where's your hands at? "I want you to wear my armor." "Son, you surrendered to preach, right? Just wear my coat. You'll do fine." What's the matter with that? See, Saul thought that he could use the world's wisdom to help David, who was battling a spiritual giant called Goliath. Thank you. I knew that I would not embarrass you too much. You can see how ridiculous that is. When we use the world's wisdom and try to walk with God, it just doesn't work. Men of old thought that they would like to get closer to God. So you know what they did? They built a tower, thinking, if we can just get closer to God, we can hear Him better. We can communicate with Him better. We can commune with Him better. And God said, "You guys are nuts. You can't build a tower clear up to here." They were building the Tower of Babel, using worldly wisdom to accomplish a purpose. See, when we use the world's wisdom, we get worldly results. But when we use godly wisdom, we get godly results. And James says, this wisdom does not come down from heaven. It's earthly. It's secular. It doesn't make sense. I've seen Christian businessmen use their own intellect to try to gain financial stability, only to lose everything that they've got. And I've seen other Christian businessmen use God's Word as their guide. And they have so many things and so many endeavors. There's a gentleman by the name of Don Grove that lives in Warsaw, Missouri. I've told you about him before. His name is Don Grove. He owns J&D Pharmacy. D is the Don. J is Jesus. J&D Pharmacy. Inside that pharmacy, he's got a little coffee shop so people can come in, sit, drink coffee. He's got a little entertainment center there. They have a home medic area within the pharmacy. He's got a wellness center where he's got a chiropractor. He's got a massage therapist. He even talked to me about having a spiritual room where I would people would come and I would talk to them and counsel them. And I went, Don, I can't do that. We need to go a different direction. So we found a young man that his heart was beating for God. And Don hired him to be the spiritual counselor in J&D Pharmacy. Don has his fingers into so many different things. And God is blessing each and every one of them. Why? Because it's based on the wisdom of the Word. James says, the worldly wisdom does not come down from heaven. It's secular, but secondly, it's unspiritual. Meaning it's sensual. The interesting word that James used, and I have to read this or I'll mispronounce it. When it says that come down from heaven, it's but earthly, unspiritual. That word is psochikos. Psochikos. It's where we get the word, not psychic, psychology or psyche. Psochikos. When you look at psychology, psychology is the study of our nature, our intellect. It's what makes us tick. That's psychology. But that's not the word he used. He used psochikos, which is a lower form. It's a base. It's bestial. It's what the animals use. They use their senses, what they can see, what they can hear, what they can taste, what they can touch. They use their senses. And that's the term that James used, psochikos. He says, that wisdom that you're using in the world does not come down from heaven. It's psochikos. When you use worldly wisdom, you're using the same wisdom that the animals use. See, we are made body, soul, and spirit. Our body is the flesh and bones. Our soul, and I know in the Western civilization, soul and spirit cross over one another. But in the Eastern culture, soul was that which we could see and experience and touch. It was sensual. We would use our senses. And the spirit is what allows us to commune with God. And man was created in God's image, body, soul, and spirit. And he told Adam and Eve in the garden, don't eat of the tree of the fruit of knowledge, lest you'll die. And when they ate of the tree of knowledge, their spirit died. Their ability to communicate and commune and have a relationship with Almighty God died. Animals our body and soul in the Eastern culture. They have flesh and bone. They can see, taste, touch, hear. They use their senses. That's what differentiates humans from animals. And that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. That spirit has to be born within us for us to be able to communicate and commune and have a relationship with Almighty God. And James says the wisdom of the world is earthly and psochikos. It's the same wisdom that animals use. When we are operating by our senses, what we can feel, what we can touch, what we can taste, what we see. It's our natural instinct to self-preservation. Have you ever wondered why we don't see mental hospitals for pets? Oh, we see animal hospitals, but they're not mental hospitals. No, humans are the only ones that have mental hospitals, right? And you know the reason for that, don't you? It's because of our dissatisfaction with God, or because of our dysfunction with God, when our spirits have not been born and we're working off the wisdom of the world and things still don't go right. It screws with our psyche and messes us up. That's why we have mental hospitals, because of man's dysfunction with Almighty God. Psychikos is basically, you know, if it feels good, do it. Have it your way right away. All of the advertising agencies appeal to our senses because they use the wisdom of the world. Thirdly, we see that it's also satanic. It's of the devil. Matter of fact, the King James uses the God of this world, which is indeed Satan. It's satanic. See, the wisdom that comes from God is not satanic, but this wisdom of the world is. Why? Because it leaves God out of the sequence. Eve used the wisdom of the world. She had been told by God, don't eat of the tree of the fruit of knowledge, lest you'll die. But Satan knew that he could deceive Eve because he knew he couldn't deceive Adam. Adam had his guard up, and he knew that he would not be able to deceive Adam. But because woman was taken from man, remember the creation story? He caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep, and when he was sleeping, he took the rib thereof and made a woman. And Adam said, I will now call her woman because she is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She is Adam's completion. And therefore, Adam would naturally, hear the term, naturally, trust her. So when Satan deceives Eve, because Eve is using the wisdom of the world, now all of society falls into sin. Joseph's brothers were using the wisdom of the world when they sold Joseph into slavery after throwing him into the pit. They were envious. They didn't like Joseph because he was the favored child. See, the wisdom of the world is indeed satanic. Why do you believe evolution is so popular? Evolution says that man crawled out of the slime pits and was some kind of a microbe. And through evolution, we became ourselves. That doesn't even make sense. I mean, if evolution was true, women would have more than just two hands. Because they're doing so many different things all the time. Yeah, okay. Bad joke. Go on. Evolution says that man is evolving upward and someday will be perfect. But the Bible says man was first perfect. And through sin now he has digressed. And unless he comes into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, he will never fulfill his purpose in this world. Let's look at the outcome. Look at verse 16 with me once again, and then I'll close. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. That word envy comes from the Greek word zelos, meaning zeal, meaning to have something bubbling up within you. You're envious. Something's bubbling over. Those individuals that are envious, they are very happy when they are able to succeed at someone else's expense. And they are very displeased when they see someone else's good fortune and they themselves don't have that good fortune. Oh, there's an envy that bubbles up within them. A zealous. Interestingly enough, when you look at the Greek word for selfish ambition, it's made up of two Greek words, poly and tick. Poly, tick. Did you ever play King of the Hill? Did anyone ever play King of the Hill besides me? We had an old dirt pile behind the school, and it'd grown up to weeds, and the boys would play out there, and you'd get at the top, and I mean, this was a tall dirt pile. They used an end loader to make this big pile. And we'd play King of the Hill, and if you were at the top, you'd have boys running up the hill trying to unseat your kingness. And they would try to knock you off the top of the hill so that they could be King of the Hill. Selfish ambition. Polytick. It means to gain applause by trickery or plotting. It means to get your way through something you say or do anytime, anywhere. Polytick. And those that used that selfish ambition and they were always selfish, they were known as polyticians. Politicians. Are you getting the picture yet? Politicians? If you like your health care, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep him. Benghazi was the result of a video. After all, what difference does it make? I know I'm being political. I'll probably go to jail for it. Our society's messed up because of the politicians. They are the ones that have selfish ambition. It's not good enough. Okay, fine. It's not good enough to be the First Lady of Arkansas, or to be the First Lady of the United States, or to be United States Senator, or to be Secretary of State. No. She wants to be the president. At what age? Tell me, what woman in here would want to be president at that age? Not a single hand. Oh, Bobby. There we go. Bobby would throw me the curve. Selfish ambition. Power. I don't need to use their email server. I'll use my own. Something's wrong there. When we elect officials to represent us and they begin governing us, something's wrong with the picture. We need to take our country back. Period. Because our politicians use the wisdom of the world. I'm done. The wisdom of the world is not something that is learned. No. Let me ask you a question. When you had children and you told them to do something, did you have to teach them to say no? Or did it just come naturally? It came naturally. That's the wisdom of the world. When you were raising your children and they were playing with toys and they saw another child playing with a different toy, did you have to teach them to take that other toy away? No. They come by it naturally. No. See, when you were raising your children and they got old enough to start socializing and forming little groups of friends, did you have to teach them to exclude these other kids? No. They do that naturally. When you hear your child say things that are ugly, did you have to teach them that? Or does that come to them naturally? See, that's the wisdom of the world. The greatest need that we have is to have the wisdom of the Word actively working in our lives. That's what James is telling the 12 tribes that are scattered. He says, it is so easy to use the wisdom of the world, and when we do, we're using the same wisdom that the animals use. It's bestial. It's a lower intelligence. But the wisdom of the word comes from heaven. And we're going to talk about that tonight. I ask you. I know myself. I have used the wisdom of the Word. And I've also used the wisdom of the world. There have been churches that I've pastored that I've used the wisdom of the Word. And I've used the wisdom of the world. And every time I use the wisdom of the world, I get that kind of result. God wants us to use the wisdom of His Word. That's why He is inviting you today to simply come through our invitation and pray and say, God, I know I've used some of both, but God, I want to use Your wisdom. I want to use the wisdom that comes from You. God, so that I can have the godly results that You desire me to have. So that's our invitation today as our worship team comes. Maybe you have been praying about a decision. Maybe there's been a decision that you've made that hasn't worked out right, and you now see that that was the wisdom of the world. And you need to have the wisdom of the Word. You can come today. We can have prayer so that God's wisdom is actively working in and through your lives. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You, Father, that You love us so much that You would send Your Son to die for us. We pray now through this invitation time, Father, that You will be glorified, that You will be honored in our lives as we turn to You for the wisdom that You can give us. And Father, we pray that through this, we are drawn closer to You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Let's all stand.